It's kind of like going to a conference. You get 3 or 4 or 5 messages in a row. It's been about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I went up to, where did we go? Oshkosh, and sitting on a conference, and my, what good preaching that was, and some interesting things that brought forth. It's good to be able to build in the house of the Lord and just be with God's people and whatever the circumstances might be. Amen? Yeah, afternoon sessions get tough because everybody's ready for a nap. And, you know, they're ready to go take a sleep and so forth. And Christina wants us to incorporate nap time into school. And she thinks nap time ought to from about 11 to 1 and then go on break. Is that it? And about 1:30 have an ice cream break. What's that? You don't come back to school. All right. Genesis chapter number 40. Did I tell you that part? Chapter number 40. We're going to read a little bit of this. We're going to talk about the life of Joseph today, the making of Joseph. What a tremendous man, the Word of God. Chapter 40, it says, "It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard under the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, and one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were 3 branches, and it was as though it budded, and her branches shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it, that 3 branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former matter when thou wast his butler. But think on me when ye shall be well with thee, or when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing, that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof, the 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief baker unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Notice the next verse. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the great fellowship we've had, the fine meal. And Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, O God, you might speak to our hearts tonight and bless in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Joseph, I believe, is one of the most intriguing characters in the Word of God. He starts in a position of having favor in his family. He is really the oldest son of Jacob's first love. And we find that as a result of that, his brothers hated him. And because of that hatred, we know that Joseph was sold by them, though they were going to first kill him. And he was sold and went to the land of Egypt. In the land of Egypt, we know that he got into Potiphar's house, and we remember all those stories and how he was falsely accused, and he goes to prison. We read the story here in chapter 40 of his time in prison as he meets the butler and the baker. And we know from this story that they had some dreams, and he interprets those dreams. And he asked them to remember him before Pharaoh. And of course, we find in verse number 1, 2 years transpire before an event took place that caused this man to remember what had taken place. And so the butler at this time now remembers and makes it known unto Pharaoh. It's interesting to me as we look at this man, who I believe is a great man, and how that greatness was developed through a process of time. I believe as we look at him, he is one that we should imitate, and he's also one that we should teach to our young as well. And as we look here, there are in his life 4, you could say 5, very vivid steps that God used in his life to bring him to the place where he's at Pharaoh's side, to a place where he is then the deliverer of his people. This man called Joseph, perhaps more than any other man in the Word of God, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who is sent down out of his country as the Lord Jesus was. One who is betrayed by his brethren and sold as the Lord Jesus Christ was. And yet one who became the deliverer of those same people. And so I'd like for us to just stop and look at what made Joseph the person he was. What made Joseph like this? We go back to the very early days and the days of the prophecies. And you remember the story that Joseph had some dreams. And in those dreams, it showed Joseph as being the hero and his brothers and his mom and his dad coming and bowing before him. And this irritated greatly his brothers, as well might be expected. And they hate him yet the more. Not only was he the beloved of his father, but now he has these dreams that seem to elevate him even more. Let's understand something, and young people listen. God can give to you at an early age the ability to understand his way and his will. God can give you a listening ear and an understanding heart for the Word of God. I am simply amazed at the ability that God places so often in the hearts of young people. And I believe one of the reasons it's so wondrous in their lives is because young folks, especially those little ones, they are in a stage in their life where faith and dependence is natural. They depend upon their parents. They just believe what they tell them. And so it's easy for them to do the same thing towards their God. And how we ought to seek to enhance that in their life. However, what we do find here in the life of Joseph is that he didn't seem to have a whole lot of humility. Now, I don't know how he told the stories. I can only imagine. I can imagine he did it with somewhat of an air about him, or perhaps he told it in humility. But one thing we do know, God did have to do some breaking in his life. And one of the things that can take place in our lives is when we have some spiritual understanding and some knowledge, we ought not allow that to go to our heads. And we need to understand that whatever it is, it's a gift from God. And though God favors us with it, does not mean that we are better than somebody else. We need to remember that. God blesses in every life in different ways. Every individual learns differently. Every individual has intelligence in different ways. And so we ought never have that kind of superior kind of feeling about us. Some kids can be in school, and in a school setting, they can be the smartest ones in the class. But take them out on the athletic field, and they fall all over themselves. Give them a hammer, and they will hit the wrong nail to be on their hand instead of the one that's in the board. And everybody is different. And God made it that way, amen? And we need to recognize that, understand that. And because God does something special for us, not to think that we are better than somebody else. Special to God, always think that. Because everybody is. So here is a young man that has the prophecies that come to him in dream, and he's able to understand what they are, and he tells those prophecies. Well, we know the story and how his brothers sell him, and where does he end up at? He ends up, first of all, in the pit. Out there, away from home, away from the rest of the family, and we find his hateful brothers and their terrible betrayal of him. Even more humiliating than being placed in the pit is they finally come to the decision, why kill him when we can sell him for 20 pieces of silver? Now think about that for a moment. Would you sell your brother or your sister for 2 pieces of silver? There were 10 of them, that's 2 apiece. Some here would say, oh, glory to God, I'd sell them for less than that. But seriously, would you do that? And yet these brothers, in their hatefulness, sold him for 2 pieces of silver apiece. They had learned the ability to deceive well from their father. As we might remember, he was one who deceived his daddy many times. Well, he's sold. He ends up in a house called Potiphar. And we know the story there as well. And it's an interesting story as we look at Potiphar. Let's think about him for just a second, because this is just a little bit of a parenthesis right here. Potiphar is in the king's business. They call him Pharaoh here, but he's about the king's business. And he is one who is in the king's court. He's one that does that business. He's in this position. And he is about taking care of that. And so he gives unto Joseph the responsibility of his household. You know, I think about Potiphar, and we ought to emulate him and understand in this world, listen, we have a job to do, and that's take care of the king's business. We have a job to do, and that's to take care of King Jesus and put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And as a result, we find that then Joseph is placed in responsibility of that. But Joseph also shows us another side of the story, and that is that he becomes the steward. A steward is one who is put in a position to take care of another's goods. By the way, who's the world belong to? Boys, who's the world belong to? Is it yours? No, whose is it? It's God's. We know that. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's His. And so everything that's around about us, it's His. And so we have a little portion of it we're to take care of. And we have certain things that He's put in our possession. And we say it's ours, but is it really? But it's ours to take care of. It's ours to do with and to use and to operate in favor of God. And Joseph was one who took that stewardship very seriously. And he was faithful to it. And so we learn a tremendous lesson as Joseph goes to Potiphar's house. But we find a story there, and we know what happens. Potiphar's wife has eyes for him, but Joseph flees. Well, as a result, we find that he is wrongly accused. And from that accusation, from that wrongly accused position, we find that Joseph ends up in prison. And now he's in a horrible spot. There's bars before him. There's bars behind him. There is no place to go. His access is very limited. And yet in prison, Joseph becomes a trusted one. It's interesting how he always rises to the top. How he always seems to get in this position. And though he's been wronged on two occasions, he's in a position of no escape. He makes the best of the situation, becomes a trusted prisoner. Even after the event that we find in chapter number 40, after he's interpreted these dreams for Pharaoh's people, folks who had access to Pharaoh, one he could bring his case before and get released from the prison. Even after that has taken place, we find that the butler forgets. And did you notice in chapter number 41 and verse number 1, it's 2 full years. 2 years. 2 years. Oh my goodness. How many of you kids have your own room? Some of you do. Okay. Some of you got a share room. You know how big your room is? It's about fairly good size. Okay. Is your room pretty big? Or did they give you a closet? Pretty big? Okay. All right. Pretty big? Very good. You got a pretty good room? Okay. Did you have your own room when you was at home? You got to share one now with that guy, but you know. That's the way that works. Some of you guys have your own room? Have you ever been grounded? You know what that means? Do you know what that means? Okay. That doesn't mean you got to stay on the ground. Well, it does. What's it mean to be grounded, you know? You don't know? We need to talk afterwards. Yes, Peter, okay. That's amen. Grounded. Sometimes parents don't do that until they get to be a little older. And you're just about there. Check your text message from your mom. It's saying you're grounded. Okay. Grounded means wherever you're grounded to, you can't leave. Okay. Any of you been grounded to your room? Any of you guys been grounded? Penny's been grounded. Okay. Your hands up. You used to get grounded, did you? They should have done it more. Anyway. No, I'm teasing. It means you are confined to some place. And a lot of times it's confined to your bedroom. Let's be honest, let's talk a minute. How would you like to stay in your bedroom for 2 years? You can't come out. Matter of fact, if you want to go to the bathroom, you got to do it right there. If you want to eat, you got to do it right there. If you want to talk to somebody, you got to do it right there. And if nobody shows up, you're on your own, buddy. Gets cold outside, whatever you got there, it's got to do. If it gets hot, you're just going to have to sit there and sweat. 2 years. How old are you?
9 years
old. Can you imagine from 7 to 9 being locked in your room? If your parents do what Mark Twain said, when you turn 13, they'll put you in a box. It's a joke. All right. 2 years. Can you imagine that? Oh, yeah, yeah. 2 years. Can you just manage to spend 2 years in your room?
I can. I hope I had a dog, though.
You hope you what?
I would hope that I didn't have a dog, though.
You'd hope you didn't have a dog?
I'd be dead before I got
Yeah, you'd probably be eating that dog. Okay. 2 years. Can you imagine that? Little kids, it's really kind of hard to conceive 2 years. That's a long time, isn't it? For guys like Doc, it's just like that. But for you, it's, whoa. 2 years. Somebody tell me, does that add up to be 730? Am I in the right spot? 730 days? to stay in your room. Can't get out. We're talking about prison here. 2 years. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? He's there. He didn't do anything wrong. Didn't do anything wrong. Matter of fact, he did right. And he got falsely accused. And he got stuck in prison. 2 years. After, we don't know how long before, after he talks to the butler. Grounded. What would be your feelings towards your brothers if they betrayed you and sold you? What would you be yelling from the pit? What kind of thoughts would be yours as you're strapped on a camel being hauled away? What would be going through your mind as you're standing on the auction block and a guy you've never seen before just bought you and took you to his house? How would you behave after you got there? What would you do with all of your training previous if a woman tried to lure you? And what would take place in your heart when you're sitting in a prison for over 2 years? And yet I look at Joseph and I cannot find bitterness. I can't find it. I have a question for you because it's not an answer. I don't know the answer. Could it be because of those childhood dreams that he believed from God, that God gave the interpretation of, could it be that he believed those so strongly that he knew somehow God was going to take him through? Honestly, I do not know. I would like to think that's true, but we really don't find that. And yet, Joseph seemed to have a good spirit all the way through. And here's something else that's amazing to me. Even after his sudden elevation, it did not seem to affect his service to the task before him. Even after having been put in the vice president job, or vice Pharaoh, if you please, being next unto Pharaoh, second in command, even though he's in that position, it seems as though he understood that God had a place for him, and we don't find bitterness. His brothers finally come to visit. And I've often wondered as they've come to visit why he did what he did. He does not immediately make himself known to them. And yet, some of what he does is just simply mind-boggling. He not only gives them grain, but gives them their money back. If he had a spiteful, vengeful heart, he had the power to put them in the prison, all 10 of them. Locked the door and thrown the key away. And nobody would have said a thing. And yet he didn't. I find it simply amazing as I look at this man and his life. Interesting. And I think Joseph, in what he did with his brothers, I think he was trying to help them. I think he was trying to somehow get them to acknowledge what they had done, at least to their father. And thus some of the questions and some of the things that transpired. There's an interesting parenthesis in all of this. One of those brothers became an intercessor. And because of the way Joseph was handling it, Judah stood up and he said, I'll stand in the place of my brother. And we need to send Benjamin back home. And Judah became really the great tribe of Israel. Interesting stuff. But I look at this and I'm amazed at the attitude of Joseph. We have the terminology today that, and the terminology goes something like this: there are families that are dysfunctional. I think every family to some degree is dysfunctional because things don't always get done the way they should. Amen? And we all have those problem areas and so forth. But I look at this dysfunctional family. And of course, this one was really quite different. There's four wives. There's four mamas. There's all these kids who are not... What are you when you have the same daddy but different mama? Half-brothers? And you got this going on. You got two sisters that are seeking predominance with their husband. You got these two handmaids that were promoted, so to speak. And we have this dysfunctional family. And yet we find Joseph, through his demeanor, pulls them all together. And I find it quite thrilling to see that. What was it? Joseph had a good attitude. Joseph had a good attitude. I find in life we can do one of two things. I find that we can choose our attitude. Doc said it so simply many years ago to me. He said, there came a point in my life, I hope I'm quoting this right, that I realized that happiness was a choice. And I chose to be happy. I think he made a good choice. We can choose the attitude we have. We sat here a few months ago and we saw a video. And there was one portion that just really caught me. And it's how that we can be in the midst of an argument with a loved one and the telephone rings. Hi, how are you? Yeah, it's a great day today. Yeah, I'll see you in about 3 hours. You bum! We can turn it on and turn it off. What did he prove with that? It's a choice. Huh? Yeah. The Christian, here's something neat. After you get saved and you make the choice, you've got the Holy Spirit of God to actually help you to do it. Because before you're saved and you make the choice, you really don't have the ability to do it. And we have that choice. What's your attitude in life? We can go around being mad at everybody and everything. I'll guarantee you there are plenty of circumstances to be upset with. Yeah. Plenty of circumstances. This young lady right here, she can walk in the classroom and she can look at those kids that are sitting there and think about, man, all the mean, bad things they do. How do I know that? I know their parents. I've lived with them a long time. Don't we that way, amen? And we can look at those things. We can zero in on that, and we can be angry, and we can be mad, and we can terrorize and do all those things. Or we can look, and we can see potential. We can see the good things. we can build on those things. You see, we have that choice. It's ours. I look at Joseph, I'm just astounded. All the bad stuff that happened to him and the choices he made, Virginia, it is amazing. No wonder he's called the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. Wow. You haven't heard anything different, but I hope I reminded you of something. The choices we make, they're ours. And though, Olivia, you could get grounded for 2 years in your room, I know it won't happen because I know what girls do. They got these little soft eyes and, oh, Daddy. And little girls, they just do this and Daddy just But if it happened, what are you going to make out of it? What are you going to make with it? Listen, you young folks, you're going to have a lot of choices in life. There's going to be some terrible things happen to you. There are going to be some kids that do some bad things to you. They're going to be mean to you. Matter of fact, I hate to have to tell you this, but you'll probably be one of those kids that be mean to somebody else because we're just that way. And that happens. But how do we take that when it happens to us? And what do we do with it? The choice is ours. Remember Joseph. Sold by his brothers. Would your sister sell you? No, she'd have paid to have you taken away. No, seriously. To have somebody do that, that's just unimaginable. Unimaginable. To be placed in a home and then just to bring riches to that home and bring blessings to that home and then to be falsely accused. Be put in prison. Spend at least 2 years there. And then maintain his integrity when he does get promoted. I find him an astounding character because he had good character. May God give us that. Father, today, bless and work on our hearts. May we remember Joseph. May when that story comes across that we might just be reminded again and again how we need to make that choice to just follow you, to have the right attitude. Oh God, just work on each heart and bless in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Christina's at the piano this time. It is Christina. If God's spoken to your heart today, maybe something somebody even said to you. Matter of fact, maybe you just got angry instead of taking the right stand and just deciding to take it in the right way. Maybe you just need to come and ask God to do something. Whatever it is, let God have His way. I found a great key to this saying of having the right attitude. When my mind is upon the Lord and things happen in my life that are very negative, it's kind of like water on a duck's back. It's amazing because it's not about me, it's about Him. It really makes the thing a whole lot different. Amen. Or, hey, listen, shake hands. Do whatever you got to do. If you got food over across the way or whatever, I think most of you probably packed away. Have a good rest of the day.